Welcome to the airport lounge. Table for two gentlemen? Right this way. Here's your booth. Have a great show.
Welcome to the airport lounge, the Winnipeg Jets podcast, much like Sammy Niku, not welcome in Winnipeg anymore. I'm Mike Guthrie, and I'm joined by my good friend and bombs perfetti, vomit on a sweater already, Vaughn Mitchell. How's it going, Vaughn?
Excited to be here. I didn't know we were kicked out of Winnipeg. What happened?
I was shoehorning a Sammy Niku joke in there. That was our inaugural introduction, and
it's preseason for us too. Obviously, your jokes are in true preseason form.
Thanks, partner.
I'm here to support you, man. Much like Derek Forbort supporting the Jets defense, I'm here to support you.
So we're back. Very exciting. We're going to do a bit of a Winnipeg Jets season or preseason review. I must say, Vaughn humbly doesn't say this very often in his day-to-day on this podcast, but Vaughn is one of the coaches of the Manitoba Bidens, a local football team, and they are 2-0 running in. We're running into what I think is going to be I'm optimistically thinking is going to be a really good Jet season. So all thumbs up.
Yeah, things are looking really positive right now, but that can change, much like the weather. We're having a lot of fun on the gridiron, and I'm really looking forward to the season on the ice and talking about our Winnipeg Jets. Like you, I'm quite optimistic, and I've liked a number of things I've seen in the preseason, and that's why we're here. We're here to talk about some Jets and what you've seen in the preseason. So, Mike, what's your initial thoughts?
Okay, so I think first thing we might level set in terms of this season, in previous podcasts last year, had railed against the North Division, all Canadian teams. I miss it. We're in with Colorado, Chicago, Dallas, Minnesota, Arizona, and St. Louis.
All of our natural, rivalries. Yeah. Nothing says rivalry like the St. Louis Blues or whatever.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? I'm just not excited about playing these guys 3, 4, 5 times this year. And that's fine. Like, Colorado.
Yeah, they have quite the team. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at ESPN or any hockey site, they've got them winning the division. And I quite honestly couldn't disagree with them to any certain extent. There's just nothing exciting. Like, honestly, being the armpit of Canada in Winnipeg and then playing the armpit of the United States in Minnesota 4 times a year doesn't inspire excitement.
But, Mike, it's all in the central time zone. So we'll have 7 o'clock games across the board. That's what's important is important, structure and habitual sort of monotonous. No, I am looking forward to it. That's a bit of a letdown. I think we were spoiled last year. It was a truly unique situation, which is why I thought it was fun and embraced it and didn't mind the varying start times too much. I thought it was, the varying start times were overcome by the fact that we were playing all of what we could consider more natural rivalries. But it'll be kind of an adjustment there for sure. But I think that, just with the team that we have and being able to go back to games in person will far outweigh, I think we're kind of going to return to the novelty that was the Jets and their participation in the NHL back when they first came back to the league. It'll feel renewed and refreshed, and I think there's this overarching sense of optimism and excitement, and I'm looking forward to going to the games. I'm looking forward to seeing this team play over the course of 82 games this season. So, I'm not so concerned about that. I think whoever you put on the ice against this crew, I think they're going to have, a tall order to beat them. And I don't think we're going to get into a micro level analysis of the Jets versus Colorado. But I look at this roster, I don't see many weaknesses. We've discussed that before.
Agreed.
But I think you know, as noted in the media, it's one thing to look at a team on paper. It's another thing for that to manifest on the ice. And we've had a couple examples of that in the preseason, although in fits and starts because it's split squads and all that. What have you seen that you've liked that maybe something that supports your optimism and maybe something that is, as you called it, a level setting or you know, something that dampened, not dampens the optimism, but goes, you know, maybe a splash of reality.
Right. And so both you and I have, over the summer months here, written a few articles on our host site here, the Face Off Hockey Network. And both of us, I think, anyway, I can speak for both of us, I think, are very excited about the moves we made over the summer. And we both dubbed it the Summer of Chevy. We had some deep, deep weaknesses on defense, and we filled those, I think, admirably. And at this point, we have a really complete roster. For the first time in the 9 years since we've been back, I don't see a lot of holes. And we'll get into some of our third and fourth line forward lines that I think in the preseason, again, it's preseason, but over-optimistic on my part. I think we're in a good spot. It's a matter of putting everything together. And we have a group of veterans, three or four forwards, that kind of run the locker room, I think, that we agree to. And whether or not the new additions can mesh and be cohesive with the Blake Wheelers and the Mark Scheifele's and the Josh Morrissey's, I think that's the biggest impediment. That sounds nebulous and sort of ethereal, but it to me, talent wise, we're full max cap. We spent it up.
Yeah.
Little Winnipeg, we spent it up, and I like, to me, I think this is an all-in move by everyone in the organization. And I've looked around at the various sites, and we're between the second and third pick in the Central Division. And I don't disagree with that. I'm not going to pick us again, like, over Colorado. That's hubris. But I think we should do very, very well. It's just a matter of fulfilling some prophecies.
I agree. I don't see us, you know, barring injuries, I don't see us finishing below second. And I see us challenging for first. I mean, if injuries bite us, we could be a little further down. If injuries bite Colorado, we might be able to take first place overall. And I think to your point about bringing in people and them having fit into the locker room culture, we didn't bring in hotshot rookies. We brought in men.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Who have established track records, who are no shrinking violets of their own. So I don't think that Brendan Dillon and Nate Schmidt are, I mean, Nate Schmidt, it's been well documented, is very outgoing. You know, they're going to be themselves. They're not going to sit in the corner and shy away from, you know, the glare of Blake Wheeler. They're going to look back and say, hey man, what's up? You know, kind of thing. I don't worry about that too much. At least in terms of those two guys, I've been quite optimistic. I think Nate Schmidt has fit quite well with Josh Morrissey. I like what I've seen from those two, although I thought Schmidt he's not quite as good a skater as I thought he'd be, or I remember.
Oh.
And same with...
I like that.
Yeah, same with Brendan Dillon. There's a plodding side to him as well. He certainly wants to go out there and be physical, and I do think, I absolutely think he fits in well with the model that Paul Maurice wants to put forward in terms of defenders. And he is
slow dudes
absolutely
who can't really skate slow very well.
Dude. Yeah. Well, he's a substantial upgrade on Derek Forbort, but he looks, you know, there is aesthetic there that, you know, I see a similarity between the two. And when Dylan DeMello is who I'm a huge fan of, and when he's anchoring your third pair, and whether it's going to be Ville Heinola or the big guy,
oh, we'll get to that.
Logan Stanley, I'm quite comfortable with that. So, you know, at least on the back end, I think that in terms of chemistry, and that's where we needed to, we needed, that was the biggest area we needed to address, and we addressed it. We didn't go in and get two hotshot 19-year-olds that, you know, that might, you know, cower under the social pressure that is the Winnipeg Jets locker room. I think we have, you know, established veterans that are going to come in there and they're going to, you know, impress themselves onto the team as much as the team impressing onto them. So I'm optimistic. I've liked what I've seen. I think the natural matchups are look good so far, but we haven't yet to see all three of the pairings, the top pairings, together in a single game. So that's something I'm excited for. What are your thoughts on the defense?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll take it back a bit. We posted something on our host site, very hyperbolic. I posted an article basically saying that I thought the Winnipeg Jets were going to win the Stanley Cup this year.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, there was a Hockey News article. It postulated that the 2019 Winnipeg Jets, based on some of the draft picks that we picked, Nikolaj Ehlers, Jacob Trouba, Mark Scheifele, that we had drafted well, and that as a result of that, we were going to win the Stanley Cup in 2019. My position was that, well, I think Hockey News just got it 3 years late, and that in this year, we were going to win the Stanley Cup. Was that a bit of editorial journalism? Absolutely. But I do think that we do have the, for lack of a better term, the horses to do it. And I really like, again, it was one preseason game. I like Dylan. I like Schultz.
Schmidt, you mean?
Schmidt. Jeez.
Schultz.
I'm already doing it. I'm in regular season. I'm in regular season forward names.
Yeah. You know, it's okay to be optimistic. I know we live in and we're born and grow up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and it's optimism is not something that Winnipeggers do very well. But I think we can break through that glass ceiling and be optimistic. You know, we don't need to be hyperbolic. We can be optimistic. For me, I've seen even just thus far in the preseason a very different Josh Morrissey. And there's been a number of times in the offensive zone where then there's been four Winnipeg Jets that you could see, you know, in your TV screen. There's not just two guys stuck at the point that aren't moving, right?
Yeah,
you see Nate Schmidt wander down. We saw last night that Josh Morrissey with a nice backdoor goal jumping up into the play. That was, I think, an assist from our friend Evgeny, not Andrei Svechnikov, was it not? Anyways, yes, I could be wrong.
Yeah,
but a very different style already. You've seen a willingness of a Nate Schmidt to carry the puck out of the zone. At best, last year you had a very, Logan Stanley who desired to actually pass the puck out of our zone to one of our players instead of just dump it out or high off the glass or whatever. But, you know, so this whole concept of carrying a defender carrying the puck out of our zone is, you know, it jumps out at you when you watch your television. It is something that is in stark contrast to what we've been used to over the last couple years. So, you know, it's a very small sample size, so you need to really look for individual instances and try to draw, you know, long-term conclusions, which is always dangerous. But all you can do is take a look at how these guys are playing and are they as advertised? And so far for me, the answer is yes. What we were sold, what we were told to expect is, even in this short period of time, what we're seeing on the ice. And if that can continue, then good things will happen. So yeah. Maybe, because I think we chatted about this before, who would your top six be and why?
So I would have our two new inductees. And then I'd like to put Morrissey on the back pairing.
Oh.
But.
We're opening the season with some scandal.
Yeah.
Libelous accusations. Again, Vaughn,
have you seen his advanced stats the past 2 years? And then, again, this is eye test only, but within the confines of the last, of the preseason, he hasn't been good. He's good in spurts. He's good in certain circumstances. He should not be on the first power play. I really like Josh Morrissey. I think he's very cerebral. Are you ready for this? I think he's outthought himself. I think that he just doesn't, he doesn't play hockey, and sometimes his effort level is subpar. It won't happen. I'm talking in just pure fantasy, because he is going to be one of the top four defensemen, and Stanley will be the fifth. And I would love Heinola to be the sixth, but that'll be Beliu. Heinola will be back on the Moose, and that's how it's going to go.
Well, I see it quite differently. I'm a bit more of a believer in Josh Morrissey. I think that the totality of his tenure as a Winnipeg Jet has been mixed. His advanced stats are not great when he didn't play with a capable NHL person on the other side of him. He and Jacob Trouba were quite good together, and I'm optimistic then when you pair him with someone of similar ability and caliber as Jacob Trouba, that I think that a very different Josh Morrissey will emerge. I would have him play with Nate Schmidt, as they have been doing in preseason. I think that's a very capable first pair. I don't think we acquired Nate Schmidt to play anywhere other than on the top pair, and I do like Morrissey with him. Your point about should Morrissey be on PP1, I think that is a true point of debate, and we can discuss that separately, but that's fair enough. On the second pair, I think we're going to see Pionk and Dylan there, as they've been paired for most of the preseason. I think for similar reasons, they support one another's skills very well. Pionk likes to kind of not be all over the place. That's not the right way. He'll jump up into the play. He'll take some chances. He'll lay the body. And, Brendan Dillon will be there to back him up, play that simple game, play hard, make it difficult for the other team. I'm a big Dylan DeMello fan. I think we both are. Who do we see beside him? Well, I'll just cut right to the chase. I'm not saying I would prefer Logan Stanley beside him, but I'm worried about Ville Heinola. I want to see him and Cole Perfetti, not to jump too far into the forward side, with the Moose and playing tons of ice. I want Ville Heinola playing 30 minutes a night. He's not going to get that with the Jets this season. He'll be lucky to get a game here or there. I don't want to see happen to Ville Heinola what happened to Sami Niku. So I really want to see Ville Heinola with the Moose playing 28 minutes a night. Same with Cole Perfetti. He's a top six forward that isn't going to play in our top six. So why put him on the third or fourth line? I loved what I've seen from him in the preseason. He is noticeable out there amongst NHLers. Although it is somewhat of a watered down talent base, it's preseason, but have him go back to the Moose and play 20 minutes a night. Have him go to the World Juniors again, which he's age eligible for, be the captain of the team, score 8 goals and 15 points and win a gold medal. I feel strongly that those two guys need to be with the Moose this year. And to be honest, I Logan Stanley has done enough. Now that we have all this DeMello or Stanley stuff behind us, that's gone. We don't have to revisit that.
That's true.
It's not an either or proposition. It's an and, right? So let's just play Logan Stanley. He's not bad. He's really not bad. And, we're suddenly, pretty tough. Like with Brendan Dillon and Logan Stanley out there, I mean, we're not going to get pushed around. And I'll tell you
that
what.
That's the key.
Here's the thing. I'm going to bring this up because I love you, Mike. And because if Logan Stanley is in the lineup, Nate Beaulieu does not have to be in the lineup, because that's one of the things
that put him in the lineup. That's fantastic.
He did bring – I'm not saying Bolio's not a tough guy, but he was about the only guy that could really do that last year. And I think that was a huge reason why he was in the lineup on a regular basis, because if we needed a guy to step up, it was him. Now we don't – like, I just don't – just not a huge fan. I have a lot more belief in what Logan Stanley brings. And so that's how I see it unfolding. Now, if we want Nate Beaulieu to be number seven or who else, it doesn't matter. Unfortunately, Dylan Sandberg got hurt. Another guy I'd like to see get another 25 minutes a night playing with Ville Heinola.
That was a bummer.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I think just from my perspective, to wrap up on the defense, it was a glaring error, as you indicated, a glaring area of problem for us. We addressed it, and the early returns suggest that we're getting bang for the buck, and that's made me optimistic.
Agreed. And I respect... I'm Kenny Rogers, a gambler. I would love Hanla and Perfetti and all these guys. The exciting is always the unknown, and I recognize that as someone who, if I'm thinking prudently about the Winnipeg Jets, that I think you're right. You're absolutely right that it would behoove them to take a leadership role on the Moose, and then next year when we have transition from the cops and some of the unrestricted mm-hmm. free agents, good holes to fill. I'll turn it here a bit in terms of the forward group that we have, and on paper we look good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, oft stated stat that we seem to always have in the top 30 scoring 6 to 5 top scorers, and there are only a handful of teams that can match us on that. But I think our focus now that we have support should be 200 feet of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to a certain extent, some of our really gifted players need to take that into account.
Well, on the issue of Blake Wheeler, I'm not particularly concerned. I think that, you know, the Connor Scheifele Wheeler line, it is what it is. I think Kyle Connor has been more... He's taken another step, at least in preseason. He's more active. I do think I'm a huge Scheifele fan. I think they can carry him. I think your concern is is correct. I just don't think it will manifest to the extent that you might think it will. I think there'll be great support from the other lines. I did note that perhaps the most positive development of the preseason was Pierre-Luc Dubois taking the number 80. So now you can just take your number 80 jersey and get and just get the name switched out.
Mitchell, why you're the best. I didn't even think of that. That is the best thing I've... Well done,
sir. So for our listeners, if you don't know, I'm going to take a very good long story. Like, Mike has a number 80 Antropov jersey.
Hey, Mike. Former Winnipeg Jet here. Nick Antropov. Or Andropov, from what I heard.
So I was tickled when I saw Pierre-Luc Dubois adopt 80, because if you have listened to this podcast before, Mike is not a huge fan of Mr. Dubois. So I felt that was pretty a great connection. But we were talking before the emergence of some of the guys that I think are really going to be able to support the top six. The Jansen Harkins we were talking about.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Dubois can't play worse than he did last year. Pairing him with a very strong Nikolai Ehlers, I think we're going to get mileage from there. Kopp and Lowry are going to be solid. You know, Riley Nash is an established veteran. You put him in a Harkins and possibly, you know, even a Christian Vesalainen or David Gustafson on that fourth line. And you can really just have a vortex of events where nothing happens. And that's okay. If we can put out a fourth line that can just, they're not necessarily a shutdown line, but they can just assure that for that minute, you know, three or four times a period that absolutely nothing will happen, you know, then...
Yeah, can I... Sorry, real quick.
Yeah, jump in, man.
Because I'm... You know me with the... Paul Maurice likes to really bring in old dudes who can't skate, but he thinks that still have defensive awareness and defensive ability. I'm going to say something. I love Nash. Again, he very small sample size. He can skate.
Yeah.
He's a good skater. And, I mean, he's got the hands of a fourth-line dude who's been in the NHL for 10 years. Absolutely. I don't care.
He's got elite...
score goals.
But he's got elite defensive stats, right? Literally nothing happens when he's on the ice.
I watched him on the penalty kill on at least 6 or 7 penalty kills. Dude is good.
Yeah.
Really good at it. and he can move, and he can get up and play, and he can make our fourth line what I, again, because it's all about me, but he can make it to a point what I think, like, the Islanders have with right. Clutterbuck and all, like, he is a professional hockey player who should not be retired. He works.
Yeah.
Kudos. And Shveshnikov, and again, I'm probably butchered that, like, good flyer. Yeah. Good job, Jets.
I agree.
He seems motivated. I might have to get another Russian jersey.
Ooh.
I did a deep dive, and he seems like a very talented hockey player who lost his way for whatever reason, wasn't trying. I think he really wants to play NHL hockey.
Didn't he have some ankle problems?
Yeah, he had a bunch of injuries and an ankle problem, and just one of those unfortunate circumstances where he got bounced around the league. And again, kudos to Chevy.
Yeah, I share that view of Svechnikov, and we're talking about Evgeny, not Andre. That's how I have to refer to him, Evgeny, not Andre Svechnikov, because, oh boy, my kids were excited when they heard that Jets got Svechnikov, and they were heartbroken when I told them it was Evgeny, not Andre Svechnikov.
Your kids are smarter than mine.
They're also older. I like your point about Riley Nash. He's a veteran forward that can skate and shouldn't be retired. He's actually a bona fide NHLer, and I think that's a change. That's certainly a change. So I do think that there's this cast of characters, and you know, I have the same concern with our good friend Paul Stastny in terms of his age and ability to skate. But there's enough going on around those guys that I do think, and Stastny's a great example, like they'll make a play at a key time in a game. Like, you're not necessarily carrying them for what they will do during the regular season. You're carrying them for their ability to make that play when you really need it in the playoffs.
And, yeah, good call.
You know, I look back at the role that Corey Perry played for Montreal last year, and perhaps it is an extreme example, but there's a guy who didn't necessarily make that impact on a night-to-night basis during the course of an 82-game schedule. But there he was in the playoffs making massive contributions. Some might even argue series-impacting mm-hmm. contributions.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. On a game by game basis. So I think that's why those guys are around. They're here for, you know, in case we go for a deep run, and that I think we'll really feel their impact at that stage as opposed to, you know, a Tuesday night in February. So you know, we have speed, we have size, we have depth, we have experience. I mean, again, it's not a perfect crew by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not sure what we're lacking. Other than, I really think, and this is way, way, way unfair to say, but a lot is going to depend on Pierre-Luc Dubois. If he can really have, I don't mean like an all-star type season, but if he can be an impactful player, playing with a guy like Ehlers and whoever they want to stick on that other wing, you know, if that can be an impactful line, if that line can make a contribution in the offensive end, similar to that the Scheifele line is doing, then, you know, we're cooking with grease or whatever the saying is, right? But if Pierre-Luc Dubois kind of is mired in that same level of play that he exhibited last year, I think that's something that will hold us back from achieving our potential. So, you know, I think Andrew Kopp's going to be Andrew Kopp. He's going to be good. You know, Adam Lowry is going to be Adam Lowry. He's going to be good. You know, Jansen Harkins, as much as I really like his play, he's not going to be make that defining difference on a night-to-night basis. So I think that, you know, we've created some competency in our back six, which I like. In the front six, we need Dubois to step up and really take the bull by the horns and impose himself on opponents on a regular basis. He doesn't have to be that every night, because the guy on his left side should be doing that quite a bit too. But we need better play from him. And if we can get that second line firing and we get competency from the back six, coupled with all the things we said about our defenders, this is a team that will do something interesting. Now, it is incredibly hard to win the Stanley Cup. It's incredibly hard. It's based on matchups and luck, and we may get a shitty matchup in the first round, or we may be out in the first round. Yeah. But I'll tell you what.
Colorado.
Yeah, you know, it could happen. I do think, even though I'm not overwhelmed by the other teams in our division, maybe there's a team we just won't match up with very well, or their goalie, you know, is just pulls a number on us every time we play them. But I think that, you know, we talked about it. Our organization has gone all in. They've taken their chips. They've put them in the middle. I have a ton of respect for that. And my patience and commitment to the team, this will carry forward beyond this year. Because if there are ramifications by going all in with this crew that, you know, maybe we got to take a step back 2 or 3 years from now, I'm going to remember that they did the right thing now, because windows open and close quickly.
Amen. And I've been harping on that for 2 or 3 years. So I think what we'll do is, in our sort of 2021-22 season, we don't disappoint. We get more sponsor requests and more offers to advertise at all times. There's a brand new movie coming out, and we're going to, they've asked us to promote it. I can't believe they did. But we're going to do that here. And then when we come back, I'm going to pump Vaughn for some predictions for the year. Here we go. To see that movie. I'm no, one of the 35%.
Well, you know, it's a topic that has sort of dominates discussion in the news every day, and I am looking forward to a time where we don't talk about that.
Agreed.
We talk about something like goaltending and how Eric Comrie scares the shit out of me.
Is that you too?
Yeah.
I don't know how this happened. Again, it's nitpicking a bit, but I'm really terrified that, what's he going to play, 14, 15 games?
Well, I'll tell you what, when my 8-year-old found out that Laurent Brossoit, who apparently doesn't speak French, I did not know that. I had him pegged as a, you know, the name. Anyways. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, apparently he's not French at all. In Vegas, they asked another French guy in Vegas. They're like, well, now you have another French. He's like, no, he doesn't speak a word of French.
Bonjour.
Anyways. Huh. Okay. My 8-year-old was livid that Brossoit was no longer a Jet, and he doesn't quite understand all the intricacies of how contracts work and all of that, but he quite liked Brossoit and felt he was a very competent backup goalie, and it took a good 10 minutes to talk him off the ledge, because he was not happy that Brossoit moved on, even though that, I don't know, they tripled his salary in Vegas or something like that, something we couldn't do. So we had to bring in a guy on the cheap. We brought back the ever familiar Eric Comrie, and I'll tell you what, we've talked about small sample sizes and what the preseason has suggested so far. And, you know, my theory about Eric Comrie is this. Okay, so he hasn't been, in my eyes, in my view, he hasn't been very good in the preseason. But it's almost Paul Maurice's way to generate some adversity, to say to the players, yeah, he's bad, so you got to be good in front of him. Not every night will Hellebuck be able to bail you out. So 14 to 20 times a year, we got to play so good in front of this guy, so that, because he's going to let in the odd bad one, right? We got to work to keep our shots down, because Connor Hellebuyck isn't there to save your beans every single night. We can't just rely on him making big save after big save. We gotta prevent offense, right? So we got to work together. The five skaters out there need to work together, implement their systems, and prevent scoring chances as opposed to just giving them up, being lazy, not paying attention to detail, and just expecting Connor Hellebuyck to pull them out of the fire. And
you are and the king of
the
narrative.
Martians are keep coming going, and the going. Vaccinations have chips in them and Elon Musk and yeah, you know what I mean. But that I actually do. I know it was kind of a rant, but I kind of
oh
feel
my
that way.
Goodness. Okay, dude. I just think that we ran up against the salary cap and we found a familiar face, and I think we're well within the recognition of our backup goalie sucks, but we're going to ride it out, because when it comes to playoffs, backup goalie's not going to play unless Hellebuyck gets destroyed in some way. And if that's the case, then we're going to lose anyway. So we're going to put all our chips in. I do really appreciate the motivation. You are the coach's coach. That you spun this into some sort of motivational tactic. I'm excited too. So on that, I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to do traditionally our last call. And we're going to predict a bit. In the Central Division, where do you think we finish?
I think we finish second. I do think that, you know, if this season is played 10 times or 100 times or whatever, you know, Colorado's going to finish in first the vast majority of those times. Perhaps in some simulations, they run into injury trouble and, you know, or their goaltending collapses or something like that, and they slip a place or two. But I'm quite confident. I just don't see what other teams, like Winnipeg is a hard team to pump up, right? They're not a sexy pick. So it's hard to go forward and say, I think, you know, Winnipeg's going to win the division or beat out, this other team or wherever. But, I don't have that, problem in saying, I think the Jets are the second best team in the division, and I think they'll finish second.
Damn it. I mapped it out, all of my very, very, very advanced. Yeah, I had Colorado first, Winnipeg. Chicago, Dallas, Minnesota, I had trouble sort of paying where they were going to land.
I look at the rest of our division and it's just a big, for me, it's a big bucket of meh. You know, these teams are meh. Yeah. Are they bad? No. Are they great? No. You know, I think, Colorado's close to being great, and I don't see many holes in our lineup. And it's interesting because when we did play this iteration of Colorado on a more regular basis, we played them pretty good. Like, we have a pretty good track record against Colorado over the years. Some other teams less so. So there's the natural sort of, they're not rivalries. It's just some teams are a better matchup for us than us. Now, I think we probably factor pretty well against a team that wants to run and gun and give us chances. Because as you indicated, or maybe as we were discussing prior to the start of the podcast, how good the Jets are in converting chances to a high degree of efficiency, and how good we are at preventing, you know, high percentage chances. So I think you in an article wrote that the Jets were first in the league in converting high danger chances and then coupled with preventing high danger chances or stopping them. We had the best save percentage and shooting percentage, looking at that. Yeah.
If I can make axe diff a thing, but they're like Vaughn over the past, like you spent a beautiful mind amount of time putting together just sort of the raw stats of our season. And I think through various conversations, we came to the realization that we were scoring at a high rate, and then we were saving at a high rate. And I thought, well, is there a stat for that? And there's a stat called Axe Diff, where it's the actual goal differential, and if that exceeds the expected goal differential, and that's based on some of the traditional stats in terms of Corsi and Fenwick, but that means that your team is converting or stopping an inordinate amount of good chances compared to an average team. And we led the league last year in that stat. Now, that can be attributed to really good forwards and really good snipers, which we have, and really good goaltending, also, which we have, or luck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things where I'm out of the three options, I'm hoping it's not luck. But well, traditionally, since 2016, like the Tampa Bay, Washington,
right,
Nashville,
right.
St. Louis, all the teams that have been finished really well at the end of the season have had a high axdiff, and we were one of them. Again, extremely so, but hopefully that's a harbinger for future success.
I agree, and I think that the luck element would get factored out over the course of 82 games. Like, there's you know, luck can appear,
yeah,
and then it disappears. An axe diff sounds like a new body spray I should be getting for myself. Like, imagine
it smells delicious.
How like it would repel people, like all people, not just like men, women, animals. They would just repel. Like if you covered it, like new axe diff for the introverts. That's our next commercial. Axe diff.
Damn it.
Axe diff spray for the introvert when you want no one around you. Tired of people sitting at your table at lunch? Wear axe diff. It writes itself.
Well played, sir. Well played. So anyway, we'll be back shortly. We're gonna wrap it up here. Vaughn, do you want to take us out?
Sure. Yeah, looking forward to the next one. Happy to be back. So, fellow travelers, that's it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks for joining us in the Airport Lounge, the official Face-Off Hockey Network podcast for the Winnipeg Jets. Check us out on Twitter at AirportLounge55, on the interweb at thefhn.net, with all episodes also available on Apple and Spotify. Be sure to come back next week to the Airport Lounge, because the first round is always on us. Until then, go Jets, go. Shady's back, tell a friend, guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back.